Fear of the Lord. It's an interesting phrase, and I've had more questions about that from people over the years than about any phrase that we have around our reference to God. And at one point in history, fear of God probably was the best interpretation of how people needed to behave, because people did not behave unless they were afraid. You had to put the fear in them or else. And so the fear of the Lord was a sense of saying, you better do this or else. I don't know how your parents are, how your dad was raising you. My dad never got mad. He was just calm, and my dad was a saint. Wasn't perfect, but he was close. And he was wonderful, and I'm grateful, and I miss him every minute. But I've never feared him. I wanted to do what was right, and the worst thing I could do is do something that would disappoint him, and I knew that. So we look at that word, fear of the Lord, and we need to kind of take and think about what that means to us today. The word respect fits in, perhaps, but it's more than just respect. We can have respect for people, for teachers, for colleagues. The word fealty comes in, but fealty has to do with an owner of a castle and the serfs that owe the castle keeper something. And so fealty was a sense of property, and so that's not quite right either. Obedience fits for the term, obedience to the Lord, and it's a good term and it's an important term, not in the sense of legal codes and laws and you must obey the strict order of life. Keeping the Sabbath means you can't turn on and off a light switch on Sunday. That is not the kind of obedience God is calling for, but it does have to do with some obedience, doesn't it? It's a serious and vital term. It means placing God as our first priority. Fear of the Lord. Richard sang the music piece, and so we heard that. Those who fear the Lord, put the Lord first. Make God our first priority. It's an important piece, and putting God first means listening to God, how God speaks to us, and even through the new commandment of Christ, love one another. And that has to take precedence over everything else. How do we love someone regardless of all the other things that we might be about and in our relationships and how we are to love one another? That was in the psalm. Love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. The Lord's righteousness to children's children. That righteousness to the children's children can be misconstrued. It might feel like we're saying that if you do something good, it guarantees your children and their children will never have anything bad happen to them. And some people seem to feel that that's how it works. And that if they have been faithful and something awful happens, their faith is diminished. They sometimes fall away. And that's a sad realization of a misinterpretation. But it's important to note that what we do does benefit our children. From children to children, everlasting. And that has to do with changing ourselves. I grew up in an alcoholic family. My mom was caught by that disease, and my older sister. I don't think my older sister has had anything to drink in a couple decades now, but I'm not around her very much, and so I don't know for sure. She is not suffering debilitation from the disease at this point. But my mom, it was a difficult time growing up. And at some point in time, I knew that for me, I had to separate away from that. I had to just take and separate myself from that family and all the structure that happens around an alcoholic family. There's a lot in that. If you're interested, Sharon Wegscheider did some excellent work on that. Her book opened my eyes and helped me see and helped me heal. But for 7 years, I had nothing to do with anyone in my family, my mother, my father. I just had to separate myself away and find a way of being in the world that was not around that alcoholic family method. I discovered years later when I reconnected that my stepping aside helped them face the issue. I didn't intend that. It wasn't something that I had planned or, you know, even prayed for. I had no hint that it might occur, but by changing my place in the system, they were faced to confront some things. And my mother stopped drinking. She was still an alcoholic. The temptation was there. And when Dad was out of town, yeah, the bottle came out. It's a disease. But nonetheless, by changing ourselves and recentering ourselves in God, we can change those around us. Not that that's our goal, or not that we are supposed to aim to do that. God does that. We just do us. Now I'm getting down into some stuff that has to do with years of counseling around that. And we don't want to go down there too far, but we need to understand that what we do will have impact on those around us, both good and bad. Now, before any of you go into a guilt thing about, oh my goodness, if I make a mistake and do something wrong, I'm going to irreparably scar my children or those around me, we are the pots of clay, and we do make mistakes. And if we do make mistakes, we have a gift, and that if we truly come and repent of our heart, we are forgiven, and we can go on. Hadley, thank you for noting during the Lord's Prayer, she said, I skipped a piece. It's all right, I'm still learning it. I've only been doing it for 30 years. Forgive me. Things happen. I hope none of you were scarred by that. I hope we can all smile and move on and know that we are all finite and we all make mistakes. Amen? Thank you for that. So to reiterate, putting Christ first is our priority. Centering on God's love and God's everlasting love allows us to be a gift to our children. And that's important, and that's in something that we can dream of, that we can pray for. And I have bad news, we may not ever see the result. We may not ever see the result. You see, well, let me start another place. What is the difference between a blossom and a bloom? Now, I knew that all the gardeners in here are intelligent, capable, competent, and I sincerely was hoping someone could give me a difference there, but I don't see any hands going up, and I didn't hear anyone offering up a difference. I don't know the difference between a bloom and a blossom. Maybe they are synonyms that they fit nicely together. I don't know. I am not a gardener. I do not have a green thumb. My sister Christine is a master gardener. I swear she could take a rock and make it grow into something. She is awesome. I am not. A couple of years ago, I decided that I love marigolds, and I love to put them in pots around my house. And I always go and buy these things, and they're expensive. But I saw in a store you could buy a little thing and plant the seeds, and it had a little cover you put over it, and you put water in the bottom, and they will all sprout up. And then when it's time, you transplant them, and I thought, this is cheap and this is easy, and even I could do this. So I got it all started and everything going along, and I was diligent for about a week, and I forgot about it. And when I finally went to look, I lifted the little cover off, and the plants had grown up and hit the roof, and we're all bent over. because they had grown too big and I hadn't taken the cover off in time. It was guilt stricken. Some of them survived being transplanted outside, but I just had to acknowledge I am just not much of a gardener. I just can't make things happen the way they ought to happen, and that's just the way it is. But there's good news, you see, because God is a gardener. Not only is a gardener, but a great gardener. Look at the garden that God has created, creation. Have you looked around you lately? I was in the backyard the other day, and I just looked up, and my neighbor's got this tree that sits in just the right spot. And I looked up, and I thought, a tree is an amazing thing. Have you ever thought about all the little branches and all the, and it's all fleshed out in all the right places, and the leaves are fantastic. What an incredible creation. And then I looked around at flowers and blooms and blossoms, whichever one that happens to be. I even looked, and there are weeds growing around my property, and even they had blossoms on them. God's creation. I didn't see the growth. And it's true that we may not see growth around us in our lives. We may be mustard seeds. We may never see the mustard plant grown so large that the birds make their nests in its branches. It's okay to be the seeds. We do what we can. We have to do what we can with integrity and try and be the seed that we're called to be. Do with reverence, respect to the Lord. Do our best job at it. The seeds that God plants then, they help flower into blossoms, into blooms. We get a little frustrated sometimes when we try and do the right thing, we try and live the right way, and it doesn't seem like the world around us is behaving itself. We do not perceive the entire garden. We may not ever understand how the garden is laid out. We may not understand the flower gardens and what's supposed to be growing and what's supposed to be growing next to us and may seem like a weed. I grew up living next to a weed or two, did you? I wasn't sure if they were weeds, though, so I leave it be and let God decide. And I discovered some of those weeds turned out to be flowers, turned out to be beneficial. We may not know and understand. That's what Jesus said in his parable. The seed would sprout, and the person who sowed it does not know how it sprouted and how it grew. In ancient times, they could see the seed of a piece of corn, and you stick it in the ground, and it would grow into a corn plant. And they didn't understand that fertilization and the things that have to happen with bees and Mike's bees that are out fertilizing the trees and the plants and the flowers. They didn't understand the entire chain of life. They only perceived a piece of it and saw what understanding. And that might be a stumbling block for most humans. We want to know what the plan is, and we want to be able to judge it and see a time lapse to make sure that we're on track. Is it hubris? I don't know. Is it human nature? Probably. Does it matter? Maybe not. As long as we return to being faithful and trying to move on to perfection. I'm not perfect. If you are, grace and peace to you. I'm trying. And next Sunday, I'll probably have the Lord's Prayer written out here so that I don't get lost again. 30 years, you'd think that I wouldn't get lost, but hey, what happens? We may not understand all of the growth and the life and the master plan. We may not see anything. We may see nothing at all. It doesn't mean we have failed. The mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, It grows up to become the greatest of all shrubs. I did a little bit of research, and I understand that actually mustard plants are an invasive species here in North America. Jesus didn't need to share that, I guess. It wasn't important then, but we know what the parable means. We understand what's going on there. And we can perceive how small a mustard seed is and how great a mustard plant is. And we understand that God is the gardener. Fear the Lord, Richard sang. Obey. Offer your obedience and your reverence and your loyalty. Do the best you can, and when you stumble, know that God is there to pick you up and keep on going. And in all things, love one another. Amen.